Hey there, listener, and welcome to Pop Nerd Lounge, the podcast for the creative soul. I'm Steph Pham. I can't believe we're officially closing season 3. If you enjoyed the guests we've had, the conversations, and positive vibes, please come back when season 4 drops. Be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And let us know what you thought of this season or who you want to hear on Pop Nerd Lounge by connecting with us on Twitter or Instagram at Pop Nerd Lounge. I'm joined by my talented producing partner V-Co this episode as we speak to a wonderful duo from New York. Comprised of Justin Bright and Justin Slavin, aka Slavo, they dub themselves as retro pop, and with their nostalgic sounds and modern flair, they've brought a refreshing take to today's pop landscape. Their single Love Me Like a Friend is out now. Please welcome our guest, Fly By Midnight. Welcome to Pop Nerd Lounge. Our guests today are Fly By Midnight. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah.
Jinx.
And I'm also joined by my lovely co-host, V. V, thank you so much for also joining the chat.
Always great to be here.
What was your gateway into the music industry?
Well, I think both Slavo and I have been doing music for most of our life, right?
Yeah.
But I'd say professionally, the music industry.
I would say each other. It's like a kind of a corny answer, but I mean, we really weren't doing a hardcore. I mean, you kind of had YouTube before I met you.
Yeah, but
and I had like an apprenticeship that I did, but like for real, I think when we both met each other is when we kind of really made our way in.
Yeah, and I think before that, I mean, you always kind of have this dream of being able to do music full time, right? And be able to make a living off of it. But until Fly By Midnight, I was seeing small checks come through YouTube, but I think with Fly By Midnight was the first time we were like, oh wait, this is enough money and fans to potentially live off this for the rest of our life and have longevity. So, yeah.
And then there's the origin story of like, you know, when we were both really young, you were a theater guy and I played guitar. So if you want to go back to those days, I mean, technically that was, I guess, our origins too, but yeah.
Yeah.
And how would you say your individual musical preferences influences your sound as a whole?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're both very eclectic in our taste and our origins for music too. I mean, I always say that I grew up on Billy Joel. My mom was playing Billy Joel on sticks, things like that in the car all the time. My dad was always singing like Eagles and stuff like that. And then I kind of more recently got into like rock more like when I was younger. And now I do pop, which is funny how that happened.
Yeah. And kind of similar. I was, like Slavo had said, a lot of my music roots kind of started in theater and like very heavy theater productions and stuff that's not like pop at all. And when I got into high school, I started to fall in love with the Beatles, 80s pop, which is kind of where Fly By Midnight started. That was really the original like retro influence. It was kind of, yeah, I think there's so many different bands, but Hall & Oates is one that came to mind, Toto, The Outfield. There's so many retro bands. And what we love about calling ourselves retro pop is it's kind of a vague term. It allows us to pull from all different time spans of music, which we do. Yeah.
And I think even on the producing end of our music, since day one, I've always geared towards using like those retro sounding synths. So similar synths that all these artists that we kind of like talk about use, you know, as like their staple. So, I mean, for every song you could pull up, there's like definitely at least one of them in there, you know what I mean? Somewhere.
Yeah.
What's something you know now that you wish you had known earlier in your career?
That's a good question.
Yeah. What's something we wish we'd known now? I mean, from the beginning, when we started Fly By Midnight, we always wanted to do something different with every release. We always wanted to, we never wanted to, I don't want to say our biggest fear, but something we always tried to avoid was just being stagnant, releasing something that sounded similar to something we've had before, releasing a video that was very similar to something we've had before. And, we out the gate, we had that mentality, but I think we were still scared to do things early on. And I think if I could go back and tell us that literally is what I think our fans have stuck around for. And I think from the beginning, I wish we would have had a bit more confidence in what we were doing from our first releases, just kind of like just really going for it and not being worried. And if we love the song, releasing it to the world and not keeping it in our hard drive, you know? Is there anything you would add to that? Or
no, I would just, I think that's a really good answer. Just like trust the process. Don't get too in your head about things. Cause I know that like kind of as you're just saying, we would always like think about each release as like, it was like the last one we'd ever have. And it was like such a dramatic thing. And I mean, we're still young as artists. We were talking to someone yesterday who kind of laughed at our age in this industry. And, you know, for us, I mean, we always feel like we're getting older and older, but we're just starting, you know, and just to have that realization that there's always going to be steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the new single, Love Me Like a Friend, which is right now out on all platforms. Everyone, go check it out. It's amazing. You guys worked with Derek Firman on this single, which is going to be a part of the upcoming album. Can't wait. What was that experience like, and what have you taken away from it that you will apply to your songwriting process moving forward?
Derek's awesome, for starters. He just had a baby, shout out. Baby's name's Finn. And his wife is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, because the first time we wrote with Derek and when we wrote this song, it was a beautiful studio. Probably like one of the nicest spaces that we've been in, like especially for a home studio. So I think that was really inspiring. Overall, that's what I took away from like my first memory of it.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of give a little bit of background to what this past year has been like writing for the album. We wrote the first album primarily in New York, and we said for this next album, we wanted to do something different. And we know that LA just has such a culture of writers from all different genres, all different parts of the world. And we were like, we're going to go to LA, and we're going to write the album, and we're going to work with people that we've never worked with before. And Derek was one of those people that we were like, man, no way is this guy going to be excited to work with us. He has these amazing credits from Goo Goo Dolls to Philip Phillips. The list goes on and on, songs that we've listened to growing up. And he was just so excited to work with us. And the song Love Me Like a Friend was so effortlessly written with him. And you kind of enter these writing sessions and you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know how you're going to gel with the person. And all I remember from that day is just having so much fun with the groove of the song. And it's so inviting. And from that day, we knew that that song was going to be something special.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And since then, Derek's been such a huge proponent for our career, just constantly keeping up with us. And we're actually getting back in the studio with him when we're back in LA, hopefully for the next record.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The song is lyrically and conceptually sad, but what makes it really interesting is that it has this juxtaposition of this uplifting mood that is brought out through the melody. And it kind of reminds me of a lot of songs that are coming out today that kind of have like a somber message or meaning behind it, but is like set aside next to this like upbeat or happy melody, kind of like what Love does. So talk to us about like that kind of process in your songwriting and what made you decide to kind of juxtaposition those moods together.
It's funny too. I think for us specifically, we don't normally like to be sad. You know what I mean? Yeah. So writing sometimes with that mindset doesn't really come very naturally to us. But when it's like a fun concept like this that I think we can even relate to, everything comes together more easily.
Yeah, I would say to compare this, because it's a great observation that the production and everything about it is very inviting. It's very uplifting. Yet the concept is being treated like a friend and essentially having your head messed with. But I would say that I wouldn't call this concept somber. I would say another song on the record, like I Need You More Than You Want Me, is definitely more that juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Where it's like dancing while crying, because that's really pouring your heart out, which I think was more difficult. I think Love Me Like a Friend.
Yeah. Overall, it's definitely playful. Yeah. I never think that, the idea of the song is sad at all. I think it's just like, you're kind of unfortunate to be in this situation. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it weirdly resonates with another song on the record, Toy, too. Like kind of just being, we've been in these kind of situations that haven't super been ideal, you know, and us by nature, we're happy dudes. And these kind of unfortunate situations, it's interesting to write those kind of songs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going from that into like the visual aspect of your music. So visuals are becoming very cinematic these days with music. And you guys have these common themes of storytelling in your videos. So how do you come up with these concepts, and how important is it for you to be personally involved in the process?
The cool thing about us that we always like to tell people is that we're like fully involved in the process, from the music to the visuals to the, you know, the social aspect to the marketing and of all this stuff. So the visuals are like one of our brainchilds, like one of our favorite things to do. And it's cool that we get to do that so involved, being that we're songwriters as well on the song. And I think, you know, from the moment we start putting ink to pen, we're thinking about how we visualize this stuff. So the process usually comes pretty naturally. It's funny because we try to outdo ourselves, and I think sometimes we get a little carried away with some of our ideas. So we have to like kind of calm ourselves down. But yeah, we love doing the visuals, and I think we're getting more and more interesting with it, you know, even like reflecting on what we've done.
Yeah. And just to kind of touch on the narrative side of it, I think from the beginning, the first video we ever put out to introduce Fly By Midnight was this very conceptual narrative journey. It was called Brooklyn. And the feedback we got from that was interesting for us. We were like, man, there's so many music videos where you're kind of just watching the person lip sync the song and they look cool. And maybe they're just at this cool location. And maybe it adds value to the song. But we always wanted to create videos that had their own standalone value outside of the song, and kind of those treat those like two separate entities. Mm-hmm. And like Slavo said, I think as we've worked on more videos, we've definitely found ways to make them all feel really cohesive. And we'll also make a point that we work with our best friends on all of our videos. So it's not like we hire production teams and we're working with new people constantly. They're literally the same people that we've been best friends with since we were like 15.
Yeah.
So that process makes everything feel just very, very relaxed. Yeah.
So building off of that, one of our favorite music videos of yours is All the Feels, and there's so much going on with it. You know, we have the llamas, the hands, and like the Wes Anderson inspiration that we got from one of the other interviews that you've done. So kind of talk to us about that video and that visual and the process behind that, and what you took away from that experience.
It's funny because I think... what was it? Moonrise Kingdom is one of his, right?
Yeah.
I think that literally just came out on Netflix, and we both had watched it and we're talking about it, and we were so inspired by his visuals and like the whole yellow tone, and just the inspiration behind the video was 100% Wes Anderson. And so reflecting on that, the llamas was like a last minute thing, which is really funny. Mm. The hands, I think the hands were your idea. It was just like a random thing. And yeah, we're just finding new ways to tell the story uniquely and surprise people, whether it comes off as, you know, random or makes complete sense. You know, I think we're just excited about doing something unique.
Yeah, I'll be completely candid. That video in particular, out of, I'd say, I don't know, the last 5-6 videos we've done, that was the one that since filming I've been the most personally conflicted on, because I think it was so ambitious and so beautifully done, but it is just a bit random, you know, and it was kind of, I think it was a really good example of us having all these ideas and throwing them at the screen. And it's so interesting because, and this is not coming off pompous at all, but it is something that we hear from people, that people love that video. And it's a weird thing to hear that. It's like, oh, okay.
It's funny because I think the video started off with a conversation of, okay, what does All the Feels mean to us? Even when we wrote it, like going back to the whole like songwriting side of it, it was like
to cut you off, but we actually that one we just wrote us to as well.
Mm-hmm. And just the idea of you know, we kind of boiled it down to what makes us happy every day and what gives us the feels, and we're coffee addicts, and we like just getting to that first cup of coffee in the morning, you know what I mean? That's like our journey. So like how do we present that in a unique way? And we ended up going to some random field and putting a cup of coffee in some hands, and we had to get to it, and we had to join some llamas. People would probably think that we take acid and like, but no, we're pretty clean. So
yeah.
I know you guys just released a video for I Need You More Than You Want Me, but do you have any ideas brewing for the new single yet? Anything that you can spill the beans on?
The cool thing about, and sorry to keep taking the lead on these, but the cool thing about how we work too is I remember while we were having our friend over who helped film I Need You More, the two of them were spitballing ideas for Love Me Like a Friend, and they were about to tell me about it, and then people started showing up for the next video, so I never even got any idea of what they were talking about. So yeah, that was the first idea that you guys had. I don't even know what it was.
We never really told you what we were talking about, but yeah, there's a lot of interesting ideas that we kind of threw around, and I think very similar to what we were saying, that with a song like Love Me Like a Friend, it's so special to us that I think just Slavo and I singing into the camera in a nice location won't do it justice. So we have to kind of figure out how to make it translate to the screen in a real unique way. And, yeah.
I'd be interested in what do you guys visualize when you hear the song?
Yeah. Throw it back your way.
Dang. I'd love to hear some external opinions.
B, do you have any thoughts?
Not to put you on the spot.
She's like...
I just see like a whole party going on.
I love it.
Awesome.
It would be cool if there was like a party and the two of us are just kind of standing there like we're like mad. You know what I mean? Like everyone's really happy and we're just like
everything's going on and then you're just sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's actually, that would be really cool. I don't know. For some reason, I see like a road trip for some reason. Cool. I don't know why.
I can see, I can see
it's
that.
Giving me, it's giving me like road trip vibes.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
Just a thought.
We don't do too many of those either, so it's always cool to see different parts of the
give you country. Guys some co-writing on that.
Right? Put a little credit in the description.
So you guys did a TED Talk a while back, and you were talking about turning like listeners into fans and marketing and all that type of stuff. So what is one key marketing strategy you think that every artist should have in their arsenal?
Connecting with your fans, I would say.
Yeah, I'm just reflecting on that TED Talk and
how awkward that
day was.
It was hot too.
That was a scorching day. I think connecting with your fans and I think now more than ever, we have to find unique ways as artists, especially because I think Spotify playlists have been this amazing thing, but they've also kind of gotten listeners into this habit of listening to a song and not checking out the artist. And I think for us, it's how do we get people to not only be fans of our music, but be fans of us as people? And I think that's something we've tried to explore from day one, because I think it's very easy to go through a playlist now, be like, I love that song, and maybe even add it and not care about who the person is, not know when they're performing live in your city, not knowing what their videos are, you know? So I think... we always try to fire on all cylinders, whether it's the visual, whether it's, you know, kind of letting people on the inside on Instagram stories and stuff like that. But I think we're always constantly learning. I don't think we've completely figured that aspect out yet.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the first song that I discovered from you guys was All the Feels. Cool. I think it was on like one of the Discover playlists on Spotify.
Cool.
Probably. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. We were on a college tour last year, right? And obviously we have fans come out to these shows, but there was one person who didn't even make it to the show, I remember, and we were walking out and she was like, "Are you guys Fly By Minna? I listened to your song Vibe on Discover Weekly." And we were like, "Yeah." She's like, "What are you doing here?" And we were like, "We just played a show at your campus."
No clue.
And she had no idea. And it was weirdly heartbreaking too. Like she's been following us and didn't know we were playing, you know, because there's so much going on. There's so much noise now, you know, and which it's the best and worst times for artists, because it's the best time to get your music out. But it's very easy to be swallowed by the industry in general. Yeah.
That actually nicely segues into my question, which is something that Shane McAnally, who's like a famous record producer and songwriter.
Yeah.
He said something about music that I resonate with is that ears want to be refreshed and they want to hear something new. So in an age where a lot of music can sound very generic, what is important to you guys to stand out in this sea of infinite artists?
It's a good question. I think for us specifically, even for our own project, just like how we mentioned before, just reinventing ourselves in every song, which is like, you know, the funny thing when you talk to industry people, they'll say, you know, you got to make sure you find your sound and then stick with it. And for us, it's like, you know, we're always so influenced by even the things that we hear every day, just reinventing yourself. And I guess that's more of like specifically for us, the industry in general. I mean, it's tough because once you start thinking about that too much, then I feel like you're influenced to a point where it's like you're not being as genuine anymore. But yeah, it's definitely like one of those yin and yang, right? You have to figure out like what you, you know, want to bring to the table. It keeps you unique.
Yeah. And I think we'd be lying if we said we didn't hit that industry wall maybe a couple of times in mm-hmm. our career too, where we've met with labels and they were like, oh, it needs to be more simple or it needs to be this and that. We were like, all right, hell, let's try that. And I think we're at a place now where, similar to what that quote you just kind of referenced, but like our personal fans in our bubble, in our world, know that we're not going to play it super safe. Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of, but we listen to new music every day. Mm. Even, you know, you referenced Loud before, who's phenomenal. Ari's awesome. We played a show with him like 3 or 4 years ago, and he's coming out with great music every day. And we definitely are inspired by artists like that. But I think it's taking songs that you love now and taking songs that you love then and exactly what you want to do with it. I think there's some songs on the new record, especially towards the end of this process, where we've kind of just been like, I don't know, let's just try this. And if it sticks, it sticks. And if it's lame, then the world doesn't get to hear it. And that's kind of it, you know?
Going back to about how you guys are very involved in your musical process, what are some of the peaks and valleys of doing everything in-house yourselves?
Yeah, it's funny because we were just kind of talking about how the music industry is one of those things that we try to avoid as far as our artistic influence. But like sometimes, you know, the budgets that they have, you know, to bring things from here to here are things that, you know, we don't have, and we do what we can with what we have, obviously. But those are the things that, you know, sometimes we kind of kick ourselves over just to think about what we're capable of if we're able to get that kind of support. But at the same time, I think we do things that I think we don't give ourselves credit for with the resources that we have, you know, so.
Yeah, I think doing everything in-house and being independent, similar to what Slavo just said, is that you're moving so fast and you're focused on so many things that you really don't take in any of your accomplishments or victories, no matter how small, no matter how big. But I will say, even not from a creative perspective, but purely from a business advertising perspective, there's some videos that we've created that I think if they had a little bit more money behind the ads portion and stuff like that, that we definitely would have had more success with. That mm-hmm. There's just no way to kind of speak around that. So sometimes it's a bit frustrating, I would say, but I think one thing that we've matured with Fly By Midnight, and we were talking earlier about something we could go back and tell ourselves. Another thing is that where we're at in our career right now, this slow incline is going to pay off. And mm-hmm. and that's kind of like, we've never seen this like decline or plateau. It's just always kind of been growing. And that slow burn will, you know, reach the top sooner or later if we keep doing this and we don't quit.
I see that you're performing around New York and LA. What's the best part about performing live?
I think just the energy.
Yeah.
Jumping around on stage.
I think similar to what we were saying before, where we're writing music and we're thinking of the visual, I think we're also thinking of playing it live. I think everything, especially in this like technological music industry age, to be able to meet people that have been following you on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, like there's nothing better than that. And I think that that's really why we're doing what we're doing, is to be able to play these songs live and have people immerse themselves in kind of the music we create. Yeah,
a little bit of a selfish response is just like being able to immerse yourself in the music. You know what I mean? Like ourselves in a way that we don't really do while we're working on it, like scientists, you know what I mean? In the studio, it's cool to just live in the moment of the song. You have a full 2 minutes and 30 seconds, sometimes 3 minutes with the song, and you're just feeling it, you know what I mean? And working off the crowd, I think it's a really cool thing to experience.
And I think to add to that too, we just had a rehearsal today with our drummer. And whenever we get out of a rehearsal and we just ran a new song with our drummer, we're like, man, that sounds crazy with live drums. It is. It's like a selfish, it's an adrenaline rush. So we just do it for us.
Speaking of collaborations, is there an artist or group out there who you consider to be your musical soulmate?
Soulmate, I like that. I've never heard that before.
See, we can't answer that with like a band that we love. Like, I love the 1975. I would love to collaborate with them. But they'd be...
I don't think they're our soulmate.
Yeah, I don't think they're
musically, at least.
Yeah.
I compare our music... I mean, it's a... I feel like if it's like Maroon 5 and Charlie Puth had a baby, it'd be like, that's our soulmate. It's not our child, but it's our soulmate.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. I would love to collaborate with Charlie Puth. I think just even as a producer, you and him would just really, really.
Yeah, I think he's just like really good at making simple things sound really cool. And I'm all about it and just feeling good.
Yeah. And I also would say, like, in our previous experience, co-writing with female writers have kind of brought out a unique emotion. And writers like Julia Michaels are just like, they really find a way similar to Charlie Puth, like making simple things just become tearjerkers. And I think, yeah, I think that'd be really unique and interesting as well.
Recently we got into Muna too, right? Oh, Muna has been popping up in sessions for like references and stuff. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but they're really cool.
Yeah. And then there's like musical soulmates that like certain artists we just love to write for too. I think even artists like Buyo and some others that are just killing the game. And I think we'd really write something super dope for them even. Yeah.
What's something unexpected that's on each of your playlists?
Probably Beamy Mac. What's his song?
Oh, we love that song.
Back Here?
That's our song.
Baby, can't you see? Na, 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 me. I can't take it no.
Yeah.
Till you're back here, baby. Love that song.
Love that.
We have like movie scene, like moments in the car where we're singing that and we're just like looking at each other like, keep your eyes on the road. It's like,
Yeah, we get super karaoke, especially when we're on like long drives for like tour and stuff.
Suckers for some old boy band sounds.
Yeah, like 90s stuff. Is there any other like really guilty pleasure?
Yesterday we were listening to, which I think is everyone's guilty pleasure. Was it yesterday or the day before? Vanessa Carlton's
Making My Way Downtown,
Walking Fast. Yeah. This is like the one from The White Chicks.
White Chicks movie. So
great scene.
Yeah.
Yep.
Always a classic. Speaking of playlists and music, would you guys ever do another Boombox series?
Yeah, we would love to.
You know, it's really funny. We started like a sequel a little while back, and I think a combination of writing for the new album and writing for other projects, other artists, it just got completely shelved. We had two ideas, and I'll say them now because hopefully putting that out in the world maybe it'll come to life. But
manifest.
Exactly. But the first one was like, what did we call it? It was like My First iPod or something like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, we grew up in the iPod generation, so we had this idea to, like...
It was, like, Boys Are Like Girls, Paramore.
That whole era, yeah.
And, like try to capture that kind of, like, punkish and bring that to the retro landscape. So that was one idea that I think we actually started. You started a production on Great Escape, right?
It was on Boys Like Girls, yeah. It sounds cool. We pulled it up recently, too. It sounded really cool.
Yeah.
Never did any vocals or anything, but... So, we'll see. Hopefully, sooner than later. Maybe after this album, when we have a little bit of... time afterward.
Yeah, we loved working on the Boombox series. What a really fun experience for sure.
Loved the series of videos as well.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
The animation and all that.
Yeah, thank you.
The animations took forever. So
remember,
glad you appreciate them.
Didn't my mom and grandma get you something for Christmas to make it easier?
Yeah, it's in it's next to our espresso pods that just sit in the corner. We have like a look at this. It's like a value pack of espresso.
Oh jeez. Mad espresso.
I used to have it in here. Maybe I lost it.
Yeah, I'll tell my mom and grandma. They're not going to be happy about that.
Every now and then we do a shot of espresso. Just to...
fun fact about the Everywhere Michelle Branch video that was filmed in a laundromat. And 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after, a car drove right through that laundromat.
The videos of it's crazy.
Yeah, and there's a video you can see it's online insane. Of that exact
literally laundromat. Right where we were standing too. It would have been like
the car just drove right through the, the window. Right,
can you imagine?
We were like, okay, so good thing we filmed it when we did.
And actually, when I lived here, because I used to live here for like a year, I would go to that laundromat all the time to do my laundry. So that laundromat holds a very special place in our hearts.
Yeah, and just to touch on those videos and all of our videos on YouTube, for the most part, people are always like, how did you pull off filming in McDonald's? How did you pull off filming in a laundromat? And I wish there was a more climactic answer to it, but we go in and we're like, hey, we're going to shoot a video. And they're like, what? And we're like, roll the camera.
Go, go, go.
And that's it. And that's how we filmed everything.
I'm pretty sure the McDonald's one, though, we literally like went in there. One of us started setting up the camera. The other one went up to the counter to order. They're like kind of looking like, what are they doing? And all of a sudden we're like filming for not even 30 minutes. Let's say like 10 minutes and then we're out.
Yeah.
They don't even notice.
Yeah, we haven't really gotten... Well, we got close to arrested a couple times, but I guess that's a whole other conversation, yeah.
Yeah, Red would definitely love to see more of the Boombox series. There's so much good music in the early 2000s, especially.
Yes, yes. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll bring it back.
That's a perfect segue to what we're about to do. We hope you guys are down for a little game of song association. Disclaimer, we did rip this off the Yale YouTube page and Terrell Grice. But we would love for you guys to play a little game, a song association, the way it works. If you guys aren't familiar with it, we give you a word and then you have 10 seconds to sing a song with that word in it.
Oof. Oh, I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I'm going to be terrible at this. Here we go.
It can be in the lyrics or in the title, whatever works.
All right.
I was literally watching something today where someone was like buckling under the pressure. I was like, wow, this is ridiculous. Like, this is like so easy. And I'm about to have the same situation where people are watching and they're going to hear the word and be like, wow, this is so easy. I'm like this.
All right, moment of truth. Let's do it.
Okay. So I'll kick it off as soon as I'll kick it off. And your first word is... Your first word is umbrella.
When the sun shines and shine together, I told you I'll be here forever. Do I have to get to the word or is that's the
because under my umbrella.
Okay, cool.
You got it. Yeah. As long as it's the word. Cool. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Ding. You got that one.
Speaking of, you guys did a cover of this song. What was shooting the video like? Because you pretty much destroyed that room.
So that was part of the Boombox series, right?
You know what's funny? It looks like we destroyed it. We did a great job of... You ever see the show Dexter? Where he puts like the stuff all over the walls. Like we pretty much made it look like Dexter.
He's like a serial killer. He like, we had like, what was it? Like
all the tarp. Yeah.
Tarp and stuff. And yeah, I don't even want to get into
movie magic. We kind of avoided it on the camera, but yeah, it was still pretty insane.
Remember when I fell on the bed? Yeah. I totally like banged my head on the bed. Well, geez. Yeah. That was an experience.
The worst part was after the fact, Justin was looking at me and his eyes were like bloodshot. He's like, dude, we used the tub water. didn't think about cleaning the tub.
I wasn't even going to bring that up because it was
We went home and bleached ourselves. It was, the whole thing was, I think it was worth it, but it was.
Because we actually, disclaimer, but we filmed that at like a random motel. Because we only knew that it had to be a crappy motel to allow us to make it rain in there. And we didn't realize the water we were making the rain out of was coming from this disgusting, dirty tub that... Who knows how so when cringe. It was clean, like cleaned, and we realized because the ceiling where the water was getting hit was actually becoming the color yellow, and it was freaking us out. And then my eyes were bloodshot, and then I showered for like 4.5 days.
Yeah.
And all right.
We derailed a little bit, but it's all good. It's worth it.
So your next word is party.
Party in the
party
USA.
Rock.
Okay, all right. Party rock. Yeah, party in the USA. All right.
Is that good enough? Do we need to sing more?
No, you got it. You got it.
Cool.
So your next word after that one is body. Your next word is body.
Body on oh my...
What's the Tove Lo?
My innocence, your body on oh my...
Yeah, it's Love Luxury.
Yeah, Love Luxury, body.
What's on the Tove Lo one?
Now if we're talking body, you got a perfect one. So
yeah. Yes, got it.
Yeah.
Hey, woohoo. Not so bad.
It's really good.
Doing good so far, yeah. Your next one is cry.
Cry me a river, cry me, cry.
Yeah, Slev will be killing it tonight.
I don't know what key that is, but that's...
Yeah. That's JT?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What he said.
Do you have one? Try it.
Oh. He took my only one. I don't know.
God bless you for singing that song, because I'm a huge Justin Timberlake fan, so...
Oh, he's the man.
There we go.
Your next word is love. Your next word is love.
I like keep thinking of titles, but Love Yourself...
Love myself.
No, I was talking about Love Yourself, Bieber. But, but
you
love
should
myself.
Go and love yourself.
Yep.
That's a good one.
That's great because like half the time on this word, no one figures out a song. Interestingly enough, even though there's like a ton of songs.
It was. You were like trying to figure it out and I was panicking over here hoping that you'd find something.
No, it's weird. Like all the titles are coming to my head, but I've completely lost the idea of how to sing. in the past like 5 minutes.
Of pressure.
Oh man, that's good.
Your next word is you.
You make me feel like a
literally in my head I went you.
Soldier boy, tell him.
Hey.
There we go.
I don't know if that he uses the word you.
I don't think.
I wonder how that's spelled out in the lyrics.
Yeah, probably not. Probably just a letter U.
Just a letter U.
You.
I love it.
probably going to get this one, but your next word is thousand. Your next word is thousand.
I have died every day waiting for you. Darling, don't be afraid.
Get there.
I will love you for a thousand years.
I have loved you, but it's all good.
What the? And that was the last time Flyby Man ever spoke. We gotta go.
What was your Slavo? What was your song?
I have to do one. For a thousand?
Thousands.
I don't know. Do you guys got one?
You sang it earlier.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I'm shook. I don't know what you're referring to.
What was it?
What did I sing?
A Thousand Miles.
White Chicks.
Yeah.
Oh. Dang it.
You're right.
There we go.
That's like the thousand song other than...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Christina Barrier.
Your next one is Beautiful.
You are so beautiful to me. What's the James Blunt one?
Can't you see?
What's the James... You're beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's true. Yeah. There we go. That was an easy one.
Nice. Your next word is dance. Your next word is dance.
Shut up and dance with me. I heard that song the other day.
What's the DNC one? Dance with me. Come on, friends with me.
Yeah. Oh, even the new Only Human, right? Dance. Oh!
Yeah. Love that song.
It's fun.
Yes.
You guys are kicking ass at this.
Yeah.
That's right.
All we do is listen to music and that's finally paying off. Yeah.
And the last one to round this off, your last word is sexy.
Ooh. We had a song actually that never came out. Sexy. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if that counts.
There's so many. I'm bringing sexy back.
Yeah. That's another JT.
Is there another one besides that comes to mind? Oh, I'm sexy and I know it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
LMFAO.
Did all LMFAO before too.
There we go. Can't go wrong. LMFAO.
There you go.
We did it. Woohoo!
Hey. High five. Yay.
All right.
10 for 10.
Hey, you guys are awesome.
Nice. Love it.
Yes. Slay. Well, guys, it has been such an amazing chat. I truly appreciate talking to you. So first, V, go ahead and tell the people, remind them where they can hit you on social media, and then we'll link everybody to Fly By Midnight's music and social media.
Yeah, I am fantastic.photography on Instagram. I do portrait and concert photography on there.
And where can people find you guys on social media?
Fly By Midnight everywhere.
Yeah, it took us a while, but we finally got the handle across all platforms, I think.
I think for the most part.
For the most part.
It should be. You type us in every Google thing.
Hopefully it pops up.
Yeah. You'll find our faces everywhere. Annoyingly everywhere. Yeah. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it. And good talking.
Fly By Midnight was such a blast to have on. A lesson that really stayed with me after our chat was just trusting the process. Also, not being afraid to constantly evolve your craft. Surprising your audience and giving them something new to love each time you release your content can make your journey engaging and you'll continuously fall in love with your passion. If you enjoyed this interview or want to learn more about Fly By Midnight, visit the link in the show notes. Before we wrap, I just want to say a quick thank you to everyone for making Season 3 of Popner Lounge possible. To our guests for bringing their stories, their perspective, and good vibes, thanks a million. Our show wouldn't be what it is without the great narrative you graciously contribute. To my producing partner V, thank you so much for continuously bringing our show to new heights. This show owes so much to you, and you are a treasure part of the Popner Lounge family. Finally, you, the listener, thank you so much for growing our community and being so open and receiving to the show we've built. Our hope is to inspire, and if we did that for you, I'm eternally grateful. Cheers to a season's end, but a chapter's new beginnings. Popner Lounge is produced by Vico and Steph Pham. Graphic design is by Vico. The show is edited and hosted by Steph Pham.
If you like our show, please make sure you visit our website, popnerlounge.com. On our website, you'll be able to find things like our previous episodes, more information on our guests, and yes, our new handy-dandy Buy Me a Coffee button. That's popnerlounge.com. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you join in next time for another compelling conversation with a fellow creative. For Pop Nerd Lounge, I'm Steph Pham.